The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today.
I get to be on this assignment that the Lord has called me to. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a retiree or a widow. It doesn't matter where you are. We're all on an assignment to be a kingdom builder. And when we look at it from that perspective, it changes everything.
It does.
Author and entrepreneur Don Castasu broke free from poverty, overcame pain and heartache, and now helps women everywhere find their God-given purposes.
Welcome to Life Today, all of you leaders. Yes, you are. If you're a Christian, you are a leader, whether you know it or not. And of course, if you're in the business world, you may have people that you're leading. If you're a parent, a grandparent, you're raising up those young ones. But in some capacity, you are called to be a leader for the kingdom of God. How do you do that? We're going to talk about that. And my guest today is a leader in many aspects. She has a book called Trailer Park CEO. It's written by Don Castasu. She is the founder of an organization called 12 Stones Coaching. And she is a regional director for the largest single brand realty company in the secular world in the United States. So she knows a little about leadership. So hang on, you're going to get some valuable insight into how to fulfill God's calling on your life. Dawn, welcome to Life Today.
Oh, so excited to be here. So excited.
So, you know, we discussed this when we talked online, but Trailer Park CEO, some people think, oh, you own trailer parks. No.
Yes.
What is the trailer park?
Yeah. You know, people think that because I'm in the real estate industry. So they're like, oh, so Dawn, you own trailer parks. I'm like, no. Came from the trailer park. And so really to unpack that and to have an understanding of why I wrote the book and called it Trailer Park CEO, you got to go way back. And I hope this provides hope for people today because my mom was 15 years old when she became pregnant for me and was sitting there, as you could imagine, any 15-year-old, a junior in high school with this decision of like, do I keep the baby? Do I give it up for adoption, abortion? All of those things were racing through her mind as she was watching her future. And she made a bold decision and a courageous one to keep me, which also then landed us into poverty because the statistics are there. When teenage pregnancies happen, there's very little resources, especially when you're already coming from that much. And that was her background. And so that landed us into the trailer park. And that became home for many, many years until actually I left to go to college. And I left from a trailer to a dorm room was my transition and has been a journey that I am grateful for now at the age of 51 for that trailer park season of who I've become today. Wouldn't trade it. Of who I've become, but man, a lot of obstacles and challenges to overcome coming out of that season.
No doubt. What was God in the picture there?
So not in the beginning at all. But you know, as we get older and we reflect on our life, I can see where God was there.
Sure.
I can see where He was grabbing me and holding me and protecting me. In the trailer park, there was abuse and addictions and all the things that, you know, as a little girl, you sit there and you're like, you don't even understand the big world outside. And then you see these things and God was protecting and He was guiding. It wasn't until my senior year of college that I finally heard the gospel message that then surrendered my heart and changed it. But up until that point, I knew there was a God. I believed in a God and I believed that He was good, but I didn't really understand my situation with Him. God was not part of it. We didn't go to church. I actually started walking to a church because of a youth group.
Oh, wow.
So I was attracted to, one, fun. Youth group's fun, right?
As
you go, and it was a lot of fun, but I was attracted to what I was seeing that was different. The people that were part of it, the kids that were part of it, they were just different and it provided hope. And so I remember walking those gravel roads to go to that church. So I was dabbling in it.
Yeah.
but didn't understand it.
God was planting seeds. And by the way, for all you youth directors and church leaders, keep doing what you're doing, because you're creating more Dons out there.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you learned along the way that really are biblical principles, but you have applied in the secular world that they work both places?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you the very first one that I actually called a stone in my book was how to fail forward. How to fail.
Okay.
Because
this is the way, we're not supposed to fail, we're supposed to succeed, right?
Yeah. Well, and I had a fear of it because I was scared that when I would fail, it would put me back in the trailer park.
Wow.
So I had left the trailer park physically when I went off to college and was the first one to go off to college. But I remember, you know, getting in my car and driving and looking in the rearview mirror and seeing the trailer behind me.
Wow.
But it took years to mentally leave.
That's wild.
The trailer park. And a lot of it is because of fear of failing. I was so scared that it would send me right back. And that I would not want to take risk, but then also I wouldn't even take the step forward sometimes in things that I was doing because I was like, wait, but what if that doesn't work out?
Mm-hmm.
And what if I can't make it? Then what will I do? And so it wasn't, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit, obviously, that gives us the courage to overcome. And finally, I was like, okay, I cannot stay where I am. And I have to mentally change. Otherwise, I can physically be removed, but mentally, I will always be crippled.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a decision to start failing forward.
Okay. You have an acronym.
I do.
That helps us get through the failure in a good way, because failure doesn't have to be the end.
No.
Right? Unless we quit.
That's right.
Right? So walk us through how to fail the right way.
Yeah. I had to create some way to kind of almost do like a mind hack of like, okay, in the moment, think about when you're in a failing moment, the emotions, especially when you have limiting beliefs or scarcity mindset, right? You're sitting in it and you're almost like, I don't know how to get out of it.
Right.
And so I had to do this mind hack, and it was an acronym. And so I took the word fail and I said, how do I reframe it to where my brain doesn't go into survival mode when I'm in it, will allow me to become into a thriving mode, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we break it down, the F stands for forgive. Mm. And the reason is because when I would have failing moments, sometimes I would look at it as almost sin. I would be crippled by it, and I would almost like have shame, and then like, Dawn, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? Why did you make that mistake, right? And so I knew that I had to start forgiving myself, that sometimes I just didn't have the resources. Mm. Sometimes I just didn't have the knowledge, right? And so it wasn't a sin. It was just a lack of. And so forgiving myself, in order to go to the next letter, A, which is accept, I had to forgive, because you can't accept something if you're literally sitting there in it and not understanding it, right? And so I would then accept it, and I would be like, okay, I can't blame it away.
Right.
Can't blame others.
Right.
Can't blame the trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sweep it underneath the rug. I say we do this often in our lives. We go through these moments and we want to sweep it under a rug, and then eventually that rug becomes a tripping hazard.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, I have to accept it for what it is, mm-hmm. so that I can do what I say is the hardest thing for me is the I, it's inspect. And the reason that's so hard is because to inspect something means you have to relive it. I have to go back into it. I have to, okay, rewind. Why did I make that decision? Why did I act that way? Why did I go and do what I did? Was I hangry? I was really hungry and needed food. Or did I not have enough sleep? Mm. Did I not seek wise counsel? Mm. Did I not, you know, get resources that I need? And so inspecting it helped me break patterns in my life. Because for most of us, and, you know, even if it's not ourselves, we sometimes see it in other people. We see people doing the same thing over and over again. Mm. And we're like, why are you doing that?
Right.
Why do you keep making the same choices in your life over and over? There's a pattern. And I think it's because we don't take time to inspect those patterns so that we can learn from them.
Yeah.
And then once we learn from them, now we get to make a decision. Do I go a different path? Can I change the pattern? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's helpful. And, you know, you got to learn. And what's interesting in Scripture, you talk about, you know, trying to figure out, is it sin? Is it missing the mark is a literal translation, archery term of sin. And there is a difference between sin and transgression and then iniquity. And as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. sin still happens. We miss the mark. Sometimes it's, we don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between transgression where you're doing something you know to be wrong.
That's right.
And the sin, I don't want to downplay it, but Jesus has it so covered that you can do exactly what Don's talking about, which is forgive yourself because Jesus has forgiven you, accept that it happened, take a look at it, and then learn from it. That's a process that we need to go through. And you're saying that that's not only helped you in your personal life, but it's helped you in business?
Oh, yes. Well, in business, we have to make decisions all the time. And especially now, I have a lot of people that I get to lead, and I'm honored to get to lead them. And so in those moments, sometimes you're sitting there like, I have all these decisions to make. How do I make the right decisions with the information that I'm given? You know, even as a mom.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like parenting.
All of our moms out there, you know, when I look at raising the kids and the time, the season of homeschooling and all the things, you're sitting there and you're like, are they going to be in therapy when they're 25 years old because of the decisions that I'm making, right?
Yeah.
And so you're looking at those things and it's like, okay, I have to give myself permission to fail forward in these decisions, right? So that I can learn from them. And I actually even write in my book that as my kids were growing up, I wanted them to have failing moments. I wanted them to go through some things so they can learn at an early age, how to reframe it and make the mistakes now, so that you don't have these big patterns in your life later on that don't serve you well.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so in that, how do you maintain a sense of optimism? Because it's real easy. I've been, you know, you try to do something, you keep making the same mistake. You're like, I'm a terrible sinner, you know, and you can get pessimistic real quick. And I think that's a dangerous place to be. How do we hold to the hope that God will finish the work He has started in us through even the failures?
Yeah. Well, I had to reframe optimism as well because I was always told optimism meant glass half full.
Yeah, sure.
Well, if you look at it from that, well, then the opposite means if you're pessimistic, it's a glass half empty. Mm-hmm. And so that was the two definitions I was sitting with. And I was like, okay, but where does abundance come in?
Mm.
In Ephesians 3:20, it tells us that He'll do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. And I was like, that sounds like a glass overflowing. That's abundance, right?
Yeah.
And then I remembered early on in my leadership and, you know, I was starting to get more responsibility and leading more people. And I remember looking at this and sometimes my glass was full, but it wasn't enough. Because things were happening in the world, things were happening in the organizations, personal things in my other leaders' lives. And you're sitting there and you're like, hey, my glass is full, but I can't loan any. Like, I can't give any. And so I reframed it. It's like, as a believer, we need to have a glass that's overflowing.
That's scriptural, yeah.
Overflowing, so that when we're in these situations and we're sitting with someone that's going through a hard time or they're being hit by life, right? Because life happens, we are able to give them this dose of hope and optimism. And so every day after not just fill my cup up, I got to make sure I'm in the Word and I'm filling myself up so that it's overflowing because I don't know what's going to happen that day. I don't know who's going to come into my life that might need just a little bit more.
Yeah, boy, that's good. And that, you know, that translates to whatever leadership role we're in, even if it's, you know, an older person who's semi-retired or, you know, widowed, widower, you're still interacting with people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about Trailer Park CEO is that, yes, it applies to women in business very specifically, but it also applies to just normal people. And I think in order for us to be able to continue to grow and to learn, to forgive ourselves, to fail, to stay not just optimistic as the world describes it, but over in abundance. I think a key component, and tell me what you think, I think it's humility.
Mm.
Because, well, lots of reasons. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, 100%, Randy, because I have to remind myself today, like every day, you're given all of these responsibilities. And sometimes when things go really well, you're like, kind of did good on that one. Look what I did, right? That's our flesh. And then I have to sit back and like, okay, but did you forget about the mess that you made the other day? Right. Did you forget like where you didn't do so well? And so I have to wake up every day and be like, Lord, first of all, forgive me right now for any time that I think that I'm in control of any of this. Because I know that you give and you can take it away. And so humility is the only way that you can have a glass that's overflowing, that optimism that's overflowing, because I know it's not of me. I know the joy that I have is not because of Dawn. It is because I'm allowing that Holy Spirit to come in and be filled up regularly every single day to be able to go out there and tackle all the things that is happening in the world today. Because they're happening.
Yeah.
Turn it on, right? And you see it.
One question I do have, because you are in a secular business environment every day. You have, as a regional director, you have a lot of people under you. How does that, how do you balance the sensitivities that you have to have in the secular world with your overflowing?
It's the hardest thing.
Really?
It really is the hardest thing because I have so many people that don't believe the same things that I believe, live different lives and things like that. And so here's what, how I look at it. I'm on an assignment. We have missionaries that go out to the field and do great work, but I also believe that we're missionaries right where we're planted. And when I wake up every day, I get to be a missionary in the workforce. I get to be on this assignment that the Lord has called me to. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I can take sometimes the persecution because I often say I'm unapologetic about my faith, right? And there, you know, those welcome persecutions, they do, right? But I get to take all of those things because I'm on an assignment. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a retiree or widow. It doesn't matter where you are. We're all on an assignment to be a kingdom builder. And when we look at it from that perspective, it changes everything.
It does.
Changes everything.
It does. You know, it also enables something else that you talk about that we love around here. That's generosity. How key has generosity been? Because I know, especially when you're around a bunch of people who don't believe the same way as you do, they can't deny true generosity from the heart. What's it been
for
you?
Well, you know, whenever I was writing the book, it wasn't originally going to be included in the book. It was like afterwards, we were sitting around and talking about it, and we were in just conversations with people, and I was like talking about the generosity that's been given to me in my life.
Yeah.
You know, when you were when we were growing up in the trailer park, we didn't have money for Christmas. The community, the church adopted us.
Wow.
And those presents came from them, right? And I write about it in my book about now, like my teachers in high school that saw that I was having a hard time and gave me the money to go to a leadership conference, right? And throughout my life, I've had it. Lots of people just stepping up and filling into the gaps of the financial needs that were needed. So money was applied, but also time. In my life, I've had a lot of people show up with the most precious asset they have, their time, and be generous to me to teach me something, to grow. And so I decided to call it the lagniappe stone, because that's a good New Orleans term.
Okay.
It means a little extra. It's like the baker's dozen.
Okay.
So it's actually the 13th stone in the book, and it talks about generosity. And it's like, as believers, none of it is ours.
Right.
None of it belongs to me. And so it is for me to give and to be able to grow the kingdom. And so I love the perspective of generosity is taking the fruits that we have harvested from the gifts that God has given us and then using it for his kingdom. That is what we're called to do.
You're so right. And God blesses that.
Amen.
He says when you're generous to the poor in Proverbs, that he is basically indebted to you. He will repay you is what it says. And I just think, wow, God, you don't have to do that, right? But out of that abundance, all right, I would love to generously send you Dawn's book called Trailer Park CEO. You can read it for yourself and then pass it on because these are great principles for wherever you're at. And the way we want to send it to you today is to offer you a chance to overflow, to be generous to people who actually are in desperate need. So watch this and pray and just ask God, God, what would you have me do? Because this is a need, a very, very real need, and you are a part of filling it. Watch this.
I had the privilege of visiting one of the hospitals of our medical mission partners in Africa. While there, I met some of their staff who were making their rounds. A meaningful time for me was being with some of the families and their children who were recovering from surgery. Each and every day, their medical staff see children who are born with serious physical conditions. Many have never been able to walk normally because of having club feet or windswept legs or bowed legs. Other conditions they see range from cleft lip, cleft palate, childhood injuries that impact bone growth and physical appearances. If not corrected in time, these children are destined to lead a life of misery and suffering. But that's where these gifted surgeons step in a very unique way.
We are servants of the Lord. The Lord can do anything that he wants to do, without us, he can do. But he has chosen us so that we can help to do his work.
And that's why even as medical people, we really have to depend on him. We have to pray for them, our patients, pray for them when we are doing the operations, just because we know that we are just the hands of someone who is actually doing the work. We are just doing that small part, and then God does the rest.
And it's a great joy that he's going to use me as one of the tools to make his work perfect again.
It is wonderful seeing children walk and run and play with smiles and laughter in ways they never could before. Life Outreach's medical partners are restoring dignity and transforming lives of precious children through these reconstructive surgeries. I invite you to join us in supporting Life's medical missions outreach with your prayers, your love, and your financial support so that even more children can experience healing, hope, and lasting change.
What you're seeing there is a biblical principle that I want to stress to you right now. And you can go all the way back to God using Moses to deliver the Israelites. God could have done that without Moses. But you know what he chooses to do? He chooses to bring us into his plan. Not because he needs it, but because we need it. You're seeing that right now in Zimbabwe at that hospital with those doctors. And wow, what a testimony. Those doctors saying, we are tools in God's hand. Their skills that they have given to the Lord to help these children whose lives would be much more difficult without those surgeries. And you know what? Their skill, their time, their expertise, they give freely. Those children, the families of those children, they don't pay a thing for those surgeries. Their lives are changed because of the love of God and the support of people just like you. And we need to do more. Partner with what God is doing. You will find blessing there. You know, Proverbs says that if you're generous to the poor, then you're loaning to God and he will repay it. I mean, God doesn't need your loan. God is trying to give us a principle by which we can live that says, if we will remember the poor, if we will be generous to the poor, if we will help those in need, then God will step in and bless us in ways that we can't even measure. That's that partnership. We have a need right now at that hospital in Zimbabwe. It's going to cost $600,000 to renovate that. That means expanding the operating rooms. It means giving more places for those children to recover and those families to stay and for those doctors to work. It means touching more lives, correcting more of those conditions, enabling more children to run, to smile, to play, and more importantly, to live a normal, productive life. You can give that to them. You can give that to them today. In fact, we need to hear from you quickly because this is a one-time thing. This is not an ongoing thing. This is, we're going to expand it and we're going to bless more children, but we need to hear from you right now. Whatever gift you can make today will make a difference. Some of you can give more financially towards that goal, but the most important thing is that you pause for a moment. You say, Lord, would you have me partner with you on this? And then you obey whatever he says. He will bless you however he wants to bless you, which is typically in the way you need it most. But don't give to get. Give because God has put it on your heart to be generous. That's the starting point. And make the best gift you can. If you're in a position just to renovate that whole place by yourself, do it. I know most of you are not. But let's come together. Let's be a part of what God's doing. Let's step into His plan to bless others. Go to the phone. Go online. Give the best gift you can.
Many children in Africa are born with severe deformities or suffer life-altering injuries. Conditions like club feet, windswept legs, and untreated fractures force them to live in pain because help is out of reach. But you can offer healing today. Our mission partner in Zimbabwe runs a children's hospital, now at capacity, and in urgent need of renovation and expansion. With a $600,000 goal and only a short period of time to raise the necessary funds, your best gift today helps children receive the surgical care they need at no cost to the families. Together, we can heal precious lives and reveal the love of Jesus. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. Featuring inspiring photos from life's outreaches, this beautiful journal is a reminder that your prayers and partnership are making a global difference. With your gift of $126 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,026 to help with the expansion of operating rooms so children are no longer turned away, and request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you're calling or going online. You are desperately needed, and you will reflect God's love in action. And those missionaries will continue in that space we build for them. So please be a part of that. Request, Trailer Park CEO. We'd love to send it to you. Don, it's so good. Thank you for sharing just a portion of this today.
It's an honor. It was an honor to be here. I wanted to share my story because that's why I wrote it, to provide hope and that optimism that people are looking for today.
Ah, so good. So good and so true. And you know what? You can provide hope and optimism to others. So please do that and come back. We've got more for you here on Life Today.
At a very young age, my earthly father and my heavenly father became the villains in my story.
Stephen McWhorter, tomorrow on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.